I'm just laughing at Brenton. He's got like a pen. Did everybody get a notebook? Because if you didn't, it's my fault. So did everybody get one? Let's make sure everybody has one. Tom, did you get one? So raise your hand. Okay, Tom needs a notebook. They had pens as well. If you need a pen, Paige can hook you up, and we'll get going on that. We'll talk about those here in a minute. I understand some people take a lot of notes. Some people are like me, and they take zero notes. Here's my thought process on the whole note thing, is if I have to stop and write something down, I'm going to miss what you said while I was writing it down. And that's just me. But anyway, we'll talk about this here in just a minute. I guess we better just go. I don't even know how this is going to – I have a good idea how this is going to go, but God has a different plan sometimes. Let's pray real quick, and then we'll see what happens. Tonight's going to be fun. Let's pray. Father, I love you. You are good, and I'm not, Lord. And as good as I try to be and as hard as I try to work, and, Lord, as much as I strive to do good, I can't do anything without you, Lord. And so I pray that tonight, as we endeavor to step into something that is uber important, that I pray you just move me out of here, because I have a lot of things that I think I want to say, but I know you have some things that need to be said, Lord. So I pray that you can just use the things that we look at here over the next 8 weeks to give you glory, Lord, and to edify our marriages, Lord, whether we be married now or we're hopefully going to endeavor into that in the future, Lord. So, Lord, I do pray that you would just anoint the time, protect our marriages as when we endeavor to get into something like that, the adversary is a punk and he tries to mess it up. And so, Lord, I pray you just speak to us tonight. In Christ's name, amen. Okay. So I'm going to get all of the logistical stuff out of the way tonight, and that'll all be done. And so every night after tonight will look different than tonight. And so just so most of you guys know who I am, not that I am anybody, but my name is Jason. I'm the Passpoint pastor here. This is my wife who makes me look better every day. Her name is Paige. She's the one who does all the stuff that makes me look good, like all the snacks and the drinks and all the stuff. That's us. And so just a couple things about us for those of you who don't know me. Most of you do, but some of you don't. Paige and I have been married for 18 years, 3 months, and 19 days, but who's counting? It was me. I was on the way home from the band competition today, and I was like, I wonder how long it's been. So that's how long it's been, babe. I know something you don't, so it doesn't happen very often. We've been married for that long. We have 3 kids. One of them's getting ready to be 19. One of them is 17. The other one's getting ready to be 14. So pray for us. 3 teenagers at home at the same time. Man, it's fun. Let's just call it what it is. It's a really good. I'll say this. I love having teenage kids. You can actually have a conversation with them. You can actually talk to them like an adult. The problem is sometimes they like to talk back to you like an adult. And I'm like, what is this? So anyway, no, I love my kids to death, but that's us. That's where we're at. That's the season of life we're in. So a lot of you have younger kids. A lot of you don't have kids at all. So we've been through that some, and we're walking through some of that other stuff as we speak. And so that's us. We were both saved in 2008. We'll get into that a little bit later. And so that's us. And so one other thing you might want to know, most of you kind of do know, but when you come to a thing at the church, you expect somebody who is cleaned up, presented, does a really good job of, you know, getting the Word of God across. And I do my best, guys. I'm a human. I'm busy, and I know y'all are busy too. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But life happens. I'm a real dude. I work a real job. I've got real kids. I've got a real wife. We've got a real marriage, and we have real problems. Real struggles. And so I'm not perfect. I don't claim to be. But when I teach, I like to have a good time. And so hopefully that will bode well. Some of you might be like, why couldn't we do this on a Wednesday night? We're already here on Wednesday night. One, I wanted you to have a little skin in the game. I didn't want to charge you guys for this because this is something that's been on my heart for a long time. But for you to give up a Saturday evening for several weeks in a row that tells me that it's at least a little bit important to you. And so I wanted you to have a little bit of skin in the game, to say, per se, however you want to say that. Anyway, I like to have a good time. For those of you who kind of know a little bit about me, I believe that this book right here is black and white. There are no gray areas in this book. You might think, well, what about this? And we're going to get into some of the things that you might think are gray areas over the next several weeks. The Bible is black and white. It has true answers to real life problems, whether it be a marriage problem, a child problem, a work problem, or anything in between. This book has the answer. You might not like to hear what the answer is, and, well, I'm sorry. That's another thing that you'll learn about me is I'm unapologetically on God's side because I believe that the Word of God is true. And does that mean that I don't have grace? Well, you'll find out later that there's been some grace in both of our lives. And so, yeah, there's grace. But when we know what the Word says and we know how it says that it should be done and we don't do it, that's not God's fault. So, you know, anyway. So that's me. You'll find out more about that as we go, but I call it like it is. And one of the things that I wanted this study to be more than anything was very black and white and very down to earth. And I used the word candid a lot. My middle son, who's more intelligent than I am, he's like, "Do you know what that means, Dad?" And I'm like, yeah, I do know what it means. Well, I've never heard you say that before. Well, I mean, I want to be able to just talk real with you guys. I understand that there's things in marriage that are hard to talk about. And it seems like the last person we want to talk to about our marriage problems or marriage issues is our spouse, oddly enough. And so I'm just going to be real with you and expect you to be real with me. And that'll be the agreement as we move forward. So, okay, that's us, just so you guys know up front. So, what's this study going to look like? I know you're here and you're like, I think it's a marriage thing. It is. So here's the first thing you need to know. How many of y'all in here have been to one of the marriage conferences that Heartland puts on once a year every year? Okay, so a lot of you. That's not what this is. The marriage conference is awesome. Paige and I got saved in 08. We haven't missed one since because it's a good time to get away. But that's what a marriage conference is. It's a good time to get away from the kids for a little over 24 hours and hear somebody at least reference some things that I need to work on in my life. That's not what this is. This is, for lack of a better word, where the rubber meets the road. I understand, because we have people come and talk to us all the time, I understand where the issues are in marriages, right? You might not all have the same issue, but we'll hit your issue before we're done. Because I've seen this. I've read the book. I know how the book ends, right? Let me back up. I've seen the movie. I know how the movie ends. Not much of a reader. It's going to be real. And there's going to be some things that are going to come up, and you're going to feel like I kicked you in the teeth. And I'm sorry. But I would rather be completely blatantly honest with you. And allow you to work through it than to sugarcoat it and say, man, we went through another class and it was really good. That's not what this is. So this is not a marriage conference. This is something that's going to require work. And you might be like, man, I didn't sign up for that. That's fine. I have a track record of people not coming back to things that that they start when I teach. I don't know why. Maybe it's me. I don't know. But I don't mean to be insensitive. The word of God is true, and it works. And we'll finish tonight by me telling you a story of how the Word of God works. And so anyway, each week we're going to take a topic, one topic, except for tonight. Tonight's going to be different. But every week after this, we're going to take a topic, and we're going to dive into it deep. One night we're going to talk about communication, because all the ladies in here are like, man, if he would just talk to me, right? One night we're going to talk about intimacy, because all the guys in here are like, man, if we could just have some intimacy, right? One night we're going to talk about raising kids, because we're all either going through it, or we've been there, or we're struggling, and we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about finances, because anybody in here ever had a financial problem in their marriage? I didn't figure. What else are we going to, ministry. A lot of people in here are part of the church, and what does that look like to have a lot of ministry going on and trying to raise kids? And that's actually going to be one of the harder nights for me to do, because I've been there and I've done that and I bought the t-shirt, and sometimes it's hard. So There's some other ones. Anyway, several. That's you get the gist. We're going to talk about real life stuff, and I'm going to be real with you. And marital roles. You know what the Bible actually says that the husband ought to be doing, and what the Bible actually says that the wife ought to be doing. We're going to talk about those things. You know, and all that stuff. So that's what it's going to look like. Each night we're going to do that. So I told you the time was going to be from 6 to 8, mostly because if you've ever been to anything that Paige and I do, we're late to everything. I'm just going to be honest with you, I plan on starting teaching, like turn the mic on at 6:30 every night. Does that mean you want to roll in at 6:29? If you want to, that's on you, I guess. I don't recommend it because I actually plan on having some fun in the 20 or 30 minutes leading up to it. But there's going to be stuff out here every week. But anyway, you'll get an hour and a half of teaching. Okay. Maybe I'll get down a minute or two early. I don't know. But, that's kind of how it's going to roll. So if you're running a little bit late, it's fine. You know, I wouldn't suggest just being late every time, you know, unless you're, you know, Jared and Emily, but you know, it's fine. They're not even here. So that's why I say that, because they said they were running late. So, it's all good. But that's how each night is going to play out, okay? So everybody knows. I don't want you to be like, well, he said it was going to start at 6, and he hasn't started until 6:30 yet. Come to Passpoint on a Sunday morning, man. We're late every week. But that's just how we roll. So I'm honest with you up front. Don't be mad. I do promise this. I will not keep you any later than 8 o'clock. If you're somebody that's like, I got kids, I need to get out of here, 8 o'clock at the latest. I'll hang out. We can talk. We can chat. I'll be here all night. I don't care. But I will not go over. I value your time. I really do, and so I'll say that. So we're going to use the Bible as our primary guide as we go through this. I'll tell you right now, there's some weeks that you're going to get a heavy dose of what the Word of God says about things. There's other nights that we're just going to reference some passages because we're going to talk about real life on some things. There'll never be a night that we don't open this book, because there should never be a day that you don't open this book, at least for something. So just so you know, as we move forward, I'm kind of trying to get your head wrapped around how this is going to go. Each week, we'll have practical tasks, and you're like, oh, so there it is, there's homework. I don't call it homework because I don't care where you do it. You can do it at work. You can be work. Anyway, I'm going to give you some tasks because not everybody in here is married. There's some singles in here. Candace and y'all, you still have time to be like, maybe this isn't for me. I'm not trying to scare you away. I'm just kidding. Justin, I'm just kidding. But marriage takes work, guys. Let's just be honest. It's a lot of work. It's hard sometimes. Every day. Not hard to be married, but it's just hard. It's hard to always be thinking of somebody else. It's hard to always be, you know, and so it takes work. And so there's going to be a little bit of work that goes into this. I'm not giving you like, oh my gosh, I got to read a whole, I'm going to give you some practical things to do. And if you choose to do them, it's actually going to help you grow your marriage, right? And so that's what it's going to look like. There's going to be some tasks that go along with what we looked at. So you might be asking, why are we doing this, right? I signed up for it because my wife wanted to do it. I don't really want to be here. I signed up because my husband thought it would be a good idea, but I don't really care. Why do we do this? You know, I'm married. I don't, like, and, you know, why am I, let me ask you, why are you here then? You know, if you're asking me, why are we doing this? You know, we've been married long enough. Why are you here? We all desire something, right? There's a desire for something. You know, let me just add, who in here would say that they have a good marriage? I definitely would say I have a good marriage, right? Guys, let me hint. Raise your hand, y'all. Like, good, everybody raises their hand. Everything after this, like, it's okay to not... But like everybody in here, yes, I have a good marriage, right? Because I'm married to her. Married. Who would say they have a great marriage? Not as many people would say I have a great marriage, right? Okay, well, nobody better raise their hand. Who would say that they have a perfect marriage? Because I don't. We struggle, right? Life happens. We get it. And so that's why we're here. Because we all have a little bit of something that we could adjust, right? Major League baseball players still have hitting practice every day. Major League or NFL football players, they're still perfecting their task every day. Why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we continue to learn? I've heard guys say, you know, I told her I loved her when I married her, or, you know, I don't have to chase after her anymore. And I'm like, you're a fool, because somebody else will. I'm just saying somebody else will. It takes work. That's why we're doing this. So what we are going to look at, now you might hear me say this and be like, no, hang on. What we are going to look at is guaranteed to help you. I guarantee, I personally, you can hold me accountable. Like if this doesn't, I guarantee that this will help your marriage under one condition. You might be like, wait a minute. Like, I guarantee that after the end of this 8 weeks, you will be in a better place in your marriage, even if it's a great marriage. You will be in a better place in your marriage than you are right now. You will be closer. You will feel like there's more communication. You will feel like there's more of all the things. You know, I'm not even getting there right now. We'll have a whole night talking about all that. Under one condition. You put on the life vest. What do you mean? I can see that there's an issue in your life. I'm not talking about any man in particular. I can see that, like, you've fallen off the boat and you're drowning. And I can throw you the life vest and you can be like, I don't need it. Okay, I can't hold you up. You've ever heard the saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink? I can give you all the right answers. I can give you all the things that you need to address in your life and that your spouse needs to address in her life or his life. And I didn't say that you would address it for them. Understand that. I can tell you all the things that the Bible says and that I've seen work. But if you don't put on the life vest, if you don't drink the water, I can't help you. I'll try. One of the hardest things I've learned in ministry, and I'm talking about like hard, is seeing that somebody has an issue and they're hurting and trying to help them and they just won't reach out. It's hard. Like, okay, so I haven't gotten there yet, and I hope I don't ever get there because I'm not much of an emotional kind of guy. I'm not the kind of guy that like pulls on your heartstrings, and that's not me. I'm black and white, I'm real. So if I get, I've seen some things, and so some things hurt sometimes. So I'm not trying to go there. So anyway, okay, put on the life vest. Okay, so the third thing we need to talk about real quick. I promise we're getting somewhere, but I'm giving you all the logistics right now. I'm not going to back up and redo these. Usually every week when I teach, I like give you a little bit of something we talk. Well, we're going to start fresh every week. So this is the only time you're going to get this. When I do something like this, there needs to be some ground rules. We did a child training class, I don't know, a while back. And again, there needs to be some ground rules. And they're more to protect me than you, but just so we know. And so if you don't agree to the rules, there's the door. There needs to be some ground rules. Number one, Paige and I, more her than me, but we're not perfect. I'm totally kidding. We're not perfect. We struggle. Like, not daily. I would honestly say that Paige and I have a really, really good marriage. I love that woman to death, to pieces. There's not a lot of things that'll get me fired up, but say something about my wife and we're gonna have some words. Like, it just is what it is. But we're real. So don't come at me if I fall, if I stumble. Now, if I fall, you better come at me. But if I stumble, if I'm like not living up perfect, guess what? I needed Christ in my life too. I'm not perfect. We're not perfect. So don't like, you know, what's the Bible say? It says something along the lines of maybe check out the log that's in your eye before you worry about the speck that's in mine. Okay? We're going to do our best to be focused on what we need to be focused on. We've been praying hard about this because I know that the adversary is a punk and he's going to try to get in the middle of stuff. But we're not perfect. And so here's the other thing I understand. Y'all ain't perfect either. I'm not going to look at any of you and be like, man, we just talked about that. What are you doing? I'm not going to do that. That's not me. I understand. We need a lot of grace in our lives. So as long as we have that mutual agreement, understanding that, hey, we're not perfect. Now, that's not a license to just do something stupid and be like, well, I told you I wasn't perfect. Okay, that's not what that means, okay? So we're not perfect. Here's the second thing, the second ground rule. And this is really where I want to make sure we're on the same page, right? We're seeing eye to eye. We're speaking the same language here, right? I've been places in the world where it's like, do you understand the words that are coming to my mouth? And they're like, No, that's what I would like to hear them say back, but it's like, no, it's a completely different language. And I'm like, so no, there's something not tracking here, right? I always joke about I would love to live in the Caribbean someday. It's not really a joke, babe. I really do want to live in the Caribbean someday, but I probably ought to maybe learn the language before, if I'm going to be serious about it, I'm going to make sure we're on the same page here. We will give you everything we have for the next 8 weeks. I'm not going to hold anything back. I will be brutally honest. I will be openly raw. I'll say things that you didn't think you could say in church, and maybe you can't, and I don't know. We'll see how that goes. Another reason we're doing this on a Saturday night. we're going to talk about intimacy, and we're actually going to talk about intimacy. I'll give you everything I've got. I'll be brutally honest with you as long as you'll do the same for me. As long as you're honestly here to grow. You're honestly here to see change. And you might be like, man, I think my marriage is good. Like, I want it to continue to stay good. Like, that's fine. But, like, I want this to be real. Because it's real to me. Okay? So, if you decide to be in, meaning like after you leave here tonight, if you're like not thinking this guy was nuts and I'm never going back, but if you're like, okay, I think there's something that can be done here, if you decide to be all in. There's nothing worse than somebody that's just like halfway doing something, right? You ever been at work? Tyler has a lot of times because there's a lot of days I'm just not all there, but you ever been at work and you just feel like the people you're working with, it's like, man, if you would just give me like 60%, we'd be getting somewhere, right? There's nothing worse than somebody who's not all in, right? You ever been in a marriage like that? Please don't raise your hand. There's nothing worse than being in a relationship, being in a scenario where you feel like you're not getting all. And so I'm going to give you everything I got. Please, if you choose to come back, and I'm not going to be mad if you don't come back. I'll pray. But be all in. Be serious about it, all right? So look at your spouse right now. Unless you don't believe it. And then if you don't believe it, you're probably going to be leaving because things are going to get really awkward. Look at your spouse right now and tell them, this is worth it. Like, me being here, this is worth it. This is worth what we're doing. The time we're spending, the investment we're making, this is worth it. Right? And you might be like, okay, I said it. I hope by the time we leave that you mean it. Right? This will be time well spent. I understand. Like, you don't get a lot of days where it's as nice as it outside today. And if you know anything about me, I live my life outside. And so I get here tonight and I'm like, man, these guys are going to hate me. Like, they need to be outside doing, like, he got things to do. Like, okay, give it a couple weeks. It's going to be cold out. It'll be fine, right? I get it. Bear with me. Next point, the last ground rule. I gave y'all a journal, right? Looks like this. It's got a name on the front of it. Okay, some of you like to take notes. I encourage you to do so. I'm going to say a lot of things. Take notes. Some of you don't take many notes. I told you I don't. That's okay. I'm still going to give you all a few things that you need to write down. Even if you're not a note taker, I'm going to be like, hey, write this down. That's everybody, okay? There's a reason for that. Okay, so here's something I want you to agree with your spouse with right now, because I understand what it's like. There's nothing sacred, meaning personally sacred, in a marriage. Right? I mean, let's just be real. If you've ever had to open the door and be like, hey, can I have a roll of toilet paper? There's nothing. There's nothing left to hide after that. Like, I told you, like, if you don't laugh, you'll cry. So, these right here, unless your spouse is just like, yes, read everything I said, don't be prying in what God's doing in their life. At least till the end of this, okay? We're going to talk about some things that might really take some time for your spouse to grow through. And I'm going to encourage them to actually do that, to grow through it. They don't need you sneaking in saying, well, what does it mean that you're struggling with this, babe? And like, well, I don't know, I'm trying to figure it out. But I won't write it down next time, right? I'm just going to ask you that you would allow these right here to be sacred for the next 8 weeks. I say that meaning I hope that there's a time that you guys can get together and, you know, talk through some things. And maybe you're at that point now. But what I'm saying is don't be the guy who's prying in, because you want God to do something in your husband or God to do something in your wife, and he's actually trying to work and they're writing some stuff down, and you start calling them out on it, and then all of a sudden it's like, fine, I won't do anything. You want the quickest way to get a man? I can't tell you anything about a woman other than they're different than me. I can tell you that. I can tell you a lot of things that men think. And you want one of the fastest ways to make a man shut down? Call him out when he's actually trying to grow, when he's actually attempting to do something in you. Even if you don't mean it in the wrong way, if he feels like it's any kind of an attack, he's just going to shut down, okay? So I'm going to ask you, that, like I gave you these, you know, there was no cost to you. It doesn't mean that there was no cost. There was no cost to you. I wanted you to have these, and it's going to be important, but like, don't be prying into your, allow God to do the work, okay? Okay, that's all the ground rules. One more thing that's just kind of basic we need to talk about, and then we're going to get into some stuff here. Okay, so inevitably when we get into marriage, there's going to be questions. I have an entire night at the very end. I want to, like, there's going to be questions. What about this, Jason? What about that, Jason? What about, like, so what about this scenario? And hopefully by the time we get there, it's already been answered. But I'll put something in the foyer out there with all the snacks and whatnot. Discreetly as you walk in, throw it in there. Your spouse doesn't have to know about it. I don't even know who wrote it. I don't really care who wrote it. I'd rather not know. But you might be like, hey, I'm in a blended marriage, and my spouse doesn't want to discipline the kids, and I do, or, you know, and we'll talk about that anyway. But, you know, there might be something that's just like, what if this happens? I have an entire night at the end because I want to answer the what ifs, because guess what? We live in a world of what if. Yeah, but what if? Yeah, I understand that, but what if? Okay, and so if you have questions, I'll put it out there. Just be discreet about it. Nobody, you know, needs to put it on display, but I will have a place for you to, you can text them to me if you want to, I don't care. But if you want it to be discreet, you don't want to know what it's about, there'll be a place for you to do that, and I promise. We have a rule in our house. Most of you guys know this rule, but if you don't know me, you don't know this. If you're old enough to ask the question, you're old enough to hear the answer. That leads to some awkward conversations sometimes with your teenage kids. But if you're old enough to ask the question, you're old enough to hear the answer. If you'll ask the question, I'll tell you brutally honest what the answer is. Okay? So that's where we're at. So there will be a place for questions if you're thinking that. So, okay, the title. Redefining expectations. Where in the world did that come from? So, I don't know if any of you guys know. I think his name was Jeff Cox. Is that his name? What was his name? Huh? From the temple? Yeah, Jeff Cox. He did a marriage study one time. It was called Two Ticks and No Dog. And I loved it. I loved the title so much. And I was like, I have to come up with something catchy. Like, that was my goal. And because that's what marriage is. It's like, man, all you want to do is suck the life out of each other. But guess what? There's nothing there. And so you get the picture, right? You'll have to go back, and I didn't even listen to the whole thing, but I remember that, and it's stuck in my head. So I tried for so long to come up with something to get, something catchy, because, you know, it's all about, you know, something that'll stick in people's heads. And I couldn't get there, right? And so, but here's what it kept coming down to over and over again. Will you make me some coffee, please? I'm already jittery enough, but... Every situation that you come across in life, whether you're going to work that day, whether you come to church that day, whether you're having a conversation with your kids, with your wife, no matter what, when you pull up to the stoplight, there's an expectation that you have. I hope that this guy stops. Like, so much so that I'm just expecting it. I'm going to drive through because it's green. You just have an expectation. It's programmed in our mind. Every situation in life, we have an expectation. This is how it should go. The problem is we carry that same thing into our marriage. And we carry into our marriages these expectations. We don't even know that we have them, really. But we have expectations. I have an expectation that, you know, my husband's not going to sleep with a neighbor, right? I have an expectation that we're going to, have sex at least X amount of times. I don't know. You have expectations. You go into marriage and you have these expectations, right? I expected him to talk more. He's like talking to a brick wall, right? I expected, you fill in the blank, right? We have expectations. And so the problem is we get into marriage and this thing that was supposed to be bliss turns into unmet expectation after unmet expectation after unmet expectation. And then they do something good, and it's like, oh, okay, that's why I married him. And followed by 10 other unmet expectations. And usually you don't even tell them, because it's like, well, I mean, I didn't really tell them I expected that. I just thought they would know, right? You know, I just expected my clothes to be clean, right? I just expected, like, anyway, you just fill in the blank, right? Whatever it is. And I understand everybody's house looks different. Everybody's household looks different. We have expectations in life, okay? So first thing I want you to do, take your little book. If you haven't wrote anything in it, turn to the first page. And very quickly, I'll give you about a minute because I'm already probably running late. And I want you to write in there, what is my expectation for this class? Write down the question, what is my expectation for this class? And then very quickly, just off the top of your head, when you came here today, what is your expectation? I wanted things to get better. I didn't really have any expectations. Be honest. I wanted my wife to learn some things. I wanted my husband to, like, whatever. Like, I want you to be honest. Like, what was your expectation? I just really wanted to learn. Like, I'm not married yet, and I want to know everything. What is your, off the top of your head, just really quick, because there is no wrong answer. Just a really quick, like, what was your expectation when you came here? Like, I want to learn. Whatever it is, you know, my marriage is on life support, and man, I pray that something could save it. Like, anything. Like, just write something down. There was a band that played that today in the Battle of the Bands. It was really cool. If you're single, you might be like, what in the world am I writing down? Like, I pray that I marry somebody that I never have to come to a class like this with, right? Or whatever, right? I don't know. Something, right? Something, okay. You keep writing, but I just wanted you to write that down. Most marriages end with this, and it's not sitting at the bedside while one of them passes, unfortunately. That'd be the best way for a marriage to end. Actually, the best way for our marriage to end would be like, we got to go at the same time. I don't know how many times I've told this woman, I get to die first, because I am not going through none of that, right? Sorry, I'm selfish, but we're not playing that game. So anyway, you know how most marriages end? There's two words. They put them on all the divorce papers. Irreconcilable differences. That's what they use, right? You know what that means? You know what that means? It means that this is not what I expected. Sometimes it's so quickly that we call it annulment. Other times it takes a couple years. Other times it takes a lot of years. But that irreconcilable differences, it means that this is not what I signed up for, and I ain't taking it no more. That's what that means. I thought that she actually cared about me. I thought that we were actually going to, you know, have a conversation every now and then. I thought that, you know, we were going to have kids and raise them together. I thought that, you know, we might actually, you know, have a physical relationship. I thought, you fill in the blank. I thought. You know what that is? That's an expectation. Because my expectations are not met, I want a divorce, because that's the culture we live in. I'll just trade you in for a newer model. Let me just tell you just a real quick, I don't know a lot of things, but I'm going to tell you this. If that's how your marriage ends, that's how your next one and your next one and your next one's going to end too. Because you're selfish. Call it what it is. You might be like, oh, hold the phone, man. I've been through that. There's a lot of grace with Christ. And there's a lot of grace with things that happened in the past. I say this all the time. I don't really care what happened in your past. I'm going to address what you do from this minute moving forward. Okay? So I want to talk about, oh, but you don't understand. And like, I understand. There's things that might need to be addressed. But what I'm saying is we're going to talk about from today moving forward. And I'm saying if all you had was expectations and now you're going to get out because you're going to find somebody else that's going to meet him, it's going to end the same way. I used to work with a guy. He was actually my boss. And it was always really funny, except for I felt really bad for him. You know what he used to tell me? He's like, Jason, I know what half of half is. It means I got divorced and she took half. And then I got divorced again from the next one and she took half. And he used to think it was funny. And then I'm like, man, I really feel bad for you. That's terrible. You know? And we joke about it because that's the culture we live in. Oh, it's funny. Ha ha. Come on now. Let me tell you the most important thing that you're going to hear tonight. If you want to write it down, you can. I don't. That's up to you. The most important thing you're going to hear tonight is this. You don't need a divorce. You need new expectations. You don't need a new spouse. You need new expectations. You don't need a new plan. You need new expectations. And you might be like, you don't understand my spouse, Jason. We're gonna talk here in a minute. You need to redefine your expectations. So what's the purpose of marriage anyway? When you talk about marriage as a whole, what is the purpose? Right? Is it to be happy? That's what America will tell you. Man, I just want to be happy. I want to find somebody I can be happy with. Well, I mean, that's fun to do. Like, I'm happy when I'm with Paige most of the time. Right? Here's something that I've never been able to put my finger on. When things are really good with me and Paige, they are like not just okay. Like, they are golden. Like, so much. I love hanging with her. I love doing everything. When things are good, they are great. But when things are bad, they're not just a little bit bad either. It's just like, holy smokes. What in the world has happened to us? Like, there is no in between. What's the purpose? No, it's not to be happy. Most of you guys will track with me, but maybe you won't. It's to bring God glory. It's to picture Christ in his church. That is the purpose of marriage. And you might be like, I don't quite understand that. That's fine. We'll get there. That is the purpose of marriage. God has a purpose for your marriage. Same way he has a purpose for your life. Same way he has a purpose for everything that you do. The purpose that he has for your marriage, your union with your spouse, is to produce the picture of Ephesians chapter 5. We'll get there. To picture what Christ and the church is going to look like. You have a job, and it is to make that picture fulfilled. Okay? So you have a picture. And I know what you're thinking, though. You might be like, I would be glad to make the picture, but you don't understand this dude. He's terrible. Like, you don't understand this gal. You just don't get it. Let me tell you a secret. You can do that. You can do your part of that picture with a spouse that won't even talk to you. You can fulfill that picture, at least your part of it, with a spouse who doesn't even like you, doesn't want to be around you, doesn't want to talk to you, doesn't want to, you might be like, hang on a minute. Now, I understand it's going to be hard to make the picture look really good, but, you know, have you ever seen, like, a two-year-old, and they're like, hey, look at this picture that I drew, and it's like, man, that's beautiful. Why? Because they gave it all they had. That's all Christ wants from you. He wants you to give everything that you've got. He doesn't want you to give any extra ounce of energy for your spouse. They have free will on their own. Do your job. That's all. That's all. We'll get into all that here in a minute. Okay, so I know that you're probably not tracking with me, and you're like, okay, I get it. Like, I get what you're saying, and really, you haven't said anything that I didn't already know, so why am I here? I get it. Like, I've been there. I've been in your shoes before. And I know that you're not really tracking with me. And so, did any of you get the email that I sent that said at name because the stupid Shelby app didn't work like it was supposed to? Because I love to hate that Shelby Next app. It's supposed to work where I type in the group, because you guys are in a group, I type in at name, and then it comes to you as Paige, Phil. But when it doesn't work, you get an email that says at name. And it's like, well, that's really professional. No way to get that back. I sent you an email. And so most of you probably didn't do it because it was late last night. But I gave you something to read. If you read it, that's fine. If you didn't, that's fine as well. It was the book of Hosea, chapters 1 through 3. And some of you might be like, that's a really odd spot to start a marriage conference. Not conference. Sorry, it's not a conference. A marriage class. Jason, that's really not like what I was thinking here, but I want to tell you a story. I want to show you, I want to spend the rest of our time tonight, which is a little less than an hour. I just want to tell you a story. A lot of you in here have probably heard my testimony, like, back to the beginning, and Paige's testimony back to the beginning. But a lot of you haven't, and you're like, I don't know what you're talking about. So I'm going to be brutally honest with you guys tonight about some things that happened in our life, not because I want to glorify sin, because sin sucks, but I want to show you what can happen if you're just faithful, okay? I'm not want you, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. I'm not even going to read that much of it, but I just want to give you the gist of this because there's a lot out there, and I'm definitely not going to read all this, but just a couple things to kind of get our minds going because I know what you're thinking. You're like, Jason, I want this whole marriage thing to work, and I want this, but if you could just make my wife do this, or if you could just get through her thick skull, if you could just tell this guy, like, here's what I need you to understand. Stop worrying about your spouse. You want to know what the problem in your marriage is? It's not them. And honestly, it's not you either. The problem in your marriage is there's this punk named Satan, and he's not giving up, right? And so, I just want to tell you a little story, if I can find it. It's not a really easy book to find. I'm getting there. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Hosea chapter 1. Hosea, he's a prophet back in the Old Testament. And the first thing we hear about Hosea is, you know, usually you're like, hey, this guy, he was a good king, good whatever. You hear a lot of things. Like I say, here's what God has to say about this dude. I'm going to fast forward because we got to get going. But I just want to give you the gist of, you know, sometimes when people are like, the Bible, it's just not, it doesn't have real life stuff in it, right? It doesn't have stuff that like real life problems. It doesn't really, okay, well, just hold on a minute. In verse 2, it says, at the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea, so this is his book, he's writing it, and the Lord said unto Hosea, first thing that we hear that God says to this dude, single people, man, when you're praying for a spouse, be specific. Like, really, really specific. Because if you're not, man, God's got a sense of humor. Like, you wouldn't believe. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said unto Hosea, go, take a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms. What? That's what everybody wants to hear. Like, yeah, I'm looking for a husband. Okay. You know, I'm looking for a wife. Go down to the brothel. That's where I want you to look. What? Okay, so just so everybody knows, a lot of people in here have different Bible knowledges going on. Okay. This book is a picture. Nearly every book in the Old Testament is a picture. This book is a picture of the redemption of what Christ can do in your life, right? So that's what I want you to understand. I understand this. Most of the book is a picture. But there's a little story in here that is just like, what? Go take you a wife out of the whorehouse. Go find her. That's who I want you to marry. That wasn't on my list. Well, you should have been more specific, son. Okay, it goes on to say, he goes down, he finds this gal. I really don't have time to read all this, but he goes down, he finds this gal. What's her name? You got to hear her name. It's just really good. Gomer. Like, go down to the brothel and look for Gomer. That's who I've got for you. Wow, what did I get myself into? You can't make this stuff up. Okay, so he goes, he takes this woman to be his wife. I don't know how it all happened. I don't need to know how it all happened, but he did. They have some kids together, right? You can read the whole story. They got kids. Okay, we understand. Like, people change. We all had a bad background. It happens, right? I'm sure that old Hosea's thought process is, I'll forgive you for the things that you used to do, right? We're married now. But, you know, I expect you to obviously not live like that anymore, and I expect, you know, whatever. He didn't say this, and we don't even know that he really lives this, but, you know, maybe what we would think. Okay, it was your past life. Anybody else do something stupid before they got saved? I did, like, a whole lots of stupid things. We'll get there. Anyway, go take you a wife of whoredoms. Okay. He does. They have some kids. The entire second chapter, I don't want to get into it because it's fairly lengthy and it's kind of wordy. There's a lot of the picture that I was talking about of the things that God is going to do with his bride, the nation of Israel, right? Who, coincidentally enough, was playing the whore and chasing after idols and different things. But anyway, we want to stick with the story here to complete what we're doing here. Guess what she does? She finds herself back in the brothel. We'll call it a brothel because to say whorehouse isn't really the nicest thing to say in church, so I won't anymore, but she finds her way back, okay? And it wasn't just to, like, say hi to her friends. She finds her way back to her old life, living the old life, chasing after the old things. And she finds out very quickly, the whole second chapter is kind of this, like, I think I'm going to go back, and then she goes back, and then she finds out, this probably wasn't my best idea. I'm going to go back to my husband. But, like, you ever been in a place in your life where you just feel like you're caught between sin and the right and the wrong, and this is what I ought to be doing, but this is what my body desires to do, and even though I know I shouldn't be doing this, Romans chapter 7 says, I find myself doing the things that I don't want to do because it feels good, but then as soon as it's over, it's like, what in the world was I doing? And, like, I'm not even going to try to continue to paint the picture because you've all been there, okay? So she goes through this whole thing, right, and she's struggling with it, and she's like, you know what, I'm just going to go back to my husband, but then guess what? She's caught in a world of, you can't just leave. And so basically she is in, let's just call it slavery, to her occupation. Still like that today. But anyway, we find that's where she's at. Now Hosea, he knows what's happened. He's not super happy about it. Can you imagine? And this would be a really good time for him to be like, hey God, that really wasn't a good idea. Can we try it my way now? That's not what he does. He basically... He's like, what do I do now, God? He doesn't say, this is what I think I ought to do. What do I do now? What do I need to do? And fast forward to chapter 3, because I get where y'all are at. You got things going on in your marriage that aren't that bad. But it's like, man, it could be a little bit better if, you know, she would just start, like, doing this a little bit more. It'd be better if, like, you know, if we talked a little more, it'd be better if, you know, maybe a few more of my expectations were met. You know, I'm not mad about it, you know, except when you ask me, but, you know, we live in a society where we're passive aggressive and we just start bottling it up till it's so much and it just explodes. And it's just like, holy smokes. We used to do this in our marriage because she never wanted to just bring the little things to me because she's like, I don't want to burden him. But what would happen is it, like, would get to where there was like 10 or 15 things that weren't big things. And then it was just like, she would, for lack of a better term, like vomit on me. And I'm like, holy smokes, that was like 3 months ago. What in the world? And she was like, well, I didn't want to like bug you about it, but like this is, and I'm like, she didn't know. I had to explain to her, and you need to learn, this is where you have to learn your spouse. Like, hey, I'm an internal processor. You got to like give me something and then come back in 3 days and maybe I've processed it. So if you give me 27 things, like, information overload, I shut down. I'm going to work because that's what I do when I shut down. I got something I can work on. I got something in the shop to do. I got something to build. You know, I got 72 things to do. And then what did that accomplish? Nothing. So we had to come to an agreement. Like, as soon as something happens, just tell me about it. It might seem like you're nagging at me even. But it's like, as soon as it happens, just let me know. Just one time. Because if I don't address it, then that's on me. But you've at least let me know. Okay, so anyway, that's just an example. Okay, got to learn your spouse. But what I understand, like, you've got things in life, and you're like, it would just be a little bit better, but, like, is it really worth bringing up to her? And it's just like, you know, it's not that bad, but, you know, I've got some expectations. And God tells Hosea, here's what I want you to do, bud. Chapter 3. Then said the Lord unto me, meaning Hosea, go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend. Now, we won't talk about who her friend is, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, whom look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver. What? This woman who he married, who he got out of a terrible lifestyle, they had kids together. She goes off and plays the harlot and basically finds herself in a really bad situation. And every man in here would say, she got what she deserved. She left. You know what God said to do? Go get her. And when he goes to get her, you know what he finds out? There's a price. You can't just take her. He has to buy her back. Not only has she completely screwed him over, I mean, just call it what it is. He has to buy her back. Now, you can kind of see the picture with Christ, and, like, we'll get there. But, like, you thought you wanted to have sex a little bit more, and, like, this guy's going through this. You thought you wanted your husband to talk to you more, and this guy went through. What I'm telling you is whatever your unmet expectations are, get rid of them. Get rid of it because you're selfish. And you'd be like, you don't know him. I give 10 miles and he doesn't give an inch. I'm saying throw your expectations out the window because it ought to be like this. It could be like this. And you know what God would tell you to do? Go buy her back anyway. Go get her. Go get him. Because I'm trying to picture something here. You think you've got it bad. You think you've got it rough. You think you like, I'm just saying. And you might be like, okay, I get it, Jason. It's a picture. God's trying to picture what is going on with the nation of Israel and him and his chosen people. But like this kind of stuff doesn't happen in real life. So talk to me real or I'm not coming back. I got 46 minutes left, and I'm going to talk to you real. I'm going to tell you a story. And I want to preface this with neither one of us are good. We're ever good, but you want to tell me that things like this don't happen? You want to tell me that, like, you just don't understand? And here's why I'm doing this. I want you to know me. I want you to know me from just the very beginning. I want you to know when I talk about, like, hey, this is how you probably ought to do this, and you're like, you don't understand because you've never had this going on. I'm just here to tell you, I've been there, I've bought the t-shirt, like I've walked it. So I don't want anybody in here after tonight to be like, you don't understand my situation, okay? I don't want to glorify sin because sin is stupid. But just let me tell you a story. I met Paige when, and I'm just gonna speak for both of us, because we don't have time for us both to talk, because she'll correct me a whole bunch of times, and honestly, it's my story, so I'll tell it. So, no, I'm kidding. For the most part, I think we're on the same page here. I met Paige when I was in high school. I was like most high school boys. I don't want to say all, because not all high school boys like us, but I was chasing after girls and playing sports, because that's what I did. I played football, I played baseball year-round, and I was just a go, go, go. And I was chasing girls and all the things that came with chasing girls, fill in the blank. So I met Paige, honestly, didn't really like Paige that much. I was like, whatever, you know, we got hooked, somebody hooked us up at like a blind date, and I was like, I was dating a girl, and I wasn't really that interested. So anyway, just say that out the gate, because it's completely the opposite. Later, but so things didn't work. I ended up was working at Walmart, because that's what everybody does, is they work at Walmart, and I was working at Walmart, and she comes through my line as a checkout, and it's towards the end of the night, and her and her friends come through, and they're like, hey, we're going to see a movie, and I'm like, well, I'm going with you, because, you know, that's what I would do. I would just, whatever, and so I go with them, and so we start this little bit of a relationship, end up spending a whole lot of time together. When I say time, so I just turned 37, okay? I don't know how old you thought I was. I have a son that's almost 19. I don't know how good at math you are. I don't have that many fingers. Tyler's got one less than me, but if we put them together, we can find out that I was not that old when things were happening, okay? And so we're fornicating, all the things, and so she ends up pregnant. I'm leaving a lot of things out, but I want to get to where I'm going. So she winds up pregnant. Funny story. Ask Tyler. He'll tell you how it goes. He always gives me a hard time about it. He asked me one day at work. He's like, so how exactly did that go? Finding out that, like, you really want to know? So she tells me she's pregnant, and here's the one thing I know. At this point, I am totally enamored with this girl. I really am. Like, most people would be like, nah, you were just chasing. No, I really wasn't. I was totally. Like, once I set my mind on something, it doesn't matter what it is, work, sports, whatever, it consumes me. And so I was enamored with this girl. I don't know if she was with me at this point, but anyway, so we find out she's pregnant, and here's the first thing that goes through my mind. life's about to change, right? Because here's what I knew. I wasn't, and don't think that I'm saying this because I'm a good person. I'm saying this because I was prideful. I'm not going to be the guy who just bails on you, because I don't want to be the guy who always has that label. You bailed on your high school girlfriend that you got pregnant. So here's what I thought. I'm going to stick around. We'll have the baby, and if things work out, they work out, and if they don't, they don't. But I'm not going to be the guy who has that label. Not going to happen, right? So we decide. Paige was never concerned. Like, most people are like, oh my gosh, were you guys concerned? And like, Paige, all she ever wanted to be was a mom. So she was like, we're just starting early. So, you know, whatever. Sounds like, you know, a perfect picture, except for it was completely broken and wrong. And but anyway, so we have Brian. How old were you when we had Brian? Yeah. She was 17. I was probably 17 as well, getting ready to turn 18, somewhere in there. I had just turned 18. So anyway, we both still in high school. What are we going to do? Like, I don't know. We'll figure it out. So this is why I met Kenley Jones. Kenley was the work release teacher at Cass Career Center, and I dropped all my classes, save the ones I had to take. I went to work release from like 6 to 6:50 in the morning, and I went to work because I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm gonna pay for this. Like, this is, I wasn't going to be that guy. And you might be like, well, you're doing all the right things. I was doing them for all the wrong reasons. Okay, so I decide, okay, we'll make this work. So we're moving along. We decide that, you know, we both graduate. Because that was what we needed to do. So anyway, we graduate, we get an apartment, and I'm like, okay, we're figuring this thing out. Like, at this point, I'm bought in. Like, not just because I have a child. You would think that you'd be bought in before you have a child. I'm telling you, we'll get into how this thing should work a lot, but I'm just telling you how broken it was. But I'm thinking at this point, we've made it this far. Like, we graduated. We made it through all the hard stuff, all the stuff that everybody said we wouldn't make it through. We get married on our own terms. You know, her parents are like, you probably ought to get married. And I'm like, no, we ain't getting married. And then about the time they were like, fine, I guess we're not getting married. I'm like, all right, you gonna get married? Because I, again, it was all pride. I was a messed up dude, right? I was not like I am now. Not that I'm not messed up now, but I was something special. I was a piece of work. So we'll get married. The whole time I'm like, oh, all right, this is it. Like, I always believed in God, knew nothing about God. Nothing about the Bible. I always believed that, like, you know, I would get there eventually. We would, you know, have a family and maybe end up going to church or whatever, you know. But I like to have a good time, to, you know, all the things that have a good time means and all of that. And so fill in the blank. Don't look at me like y'all didn't like to have a good time before you got saved. Come on now. Not everybody, I understand. I'm not trying to glorify sin because sin's stupid. I'm trying to show you what God has done. I'm like, okay, we're married, and I'm totally enamored with this woman. Like, this must be what it's about. Like, I'm ready. Let's go. When I decide to do something, I go all out. I had no idea that that was not her mindset. She was already like, I'm not so sure that this is exactly what needs to happen. I know we've got a kid together, but in her mind, she's like, I really don't need you. And I'm like, oh, you need me, baby. She's like, she didn't tell me this, but like, you know, you might think this is harsh, but she told me this later on in life. Like, the day we got married, her dad asked her, like, before she goes to walk down the aisle, are you sure you want to do this? And she never could answer him, but it was time to go. Like, looking back, that was, you want to talk about a shot to the face, your wife telling you that? Like, the day we got married? For real? No, I'm not saying anything that's going to be like, why did you say that? Like, we've been through all this. We really have worked through some things. But anyway, so what I think is really good ain't really good. We get married. We play the married life for a short amount of time. And, you know, we're living in an apartment, trying to make ends meet at 19, 20 years old. You know, there ain't a whole lot of anything going on, right? Whole lot of those frozen Tostino pizzas and ramen noodles, right? But we're living the dream, according to me. Like, this is awesome. Like, everybody's got to go through this. This is great. What I didn't know was that my wife was sleeping with somebody else. That she had started having an affair with somebody that she was working with, and well, that's not cool. So I start getting worried about this. And what did I do? Well, I just confronted her about it, and I called her out, and I told her, that's not what I did. I was like, you don't know my wife. You're lying to me. I don't want to hear it. Okay, fine. A couple weeks later, somebody else comes to me. Stop saying this. Y'all, I don't know who's messing this whole thing up. I don't know who's trying to, like, this is not true. You don't know my wife. I'm like, you don't understand. Like, a couple weeks later, maybe a couple days later, I don't know. It starts to be pretty often. Next thing I know, I get a call from a lady who's supposedly married to the guy that she's. I'm like, I don't know what you think is going on, but you don't understand. The whole time in my mind, I'm like, all right, obviously something's going on, but how do I address this? I totally, like, in my mind, as a lost guy, a young lost guy, and at the time, I thought I was a pretty good-looking young lost guy. I'm like, I could have just started over. But it was just like, there was something about this woman. And so we, obviously, I confront her about it. No, nothing. Okay, fine, I'll take your word at it. This goes on for a while, and okay, it starts to become apparent. She's not just sleeping with me, okay? Now, y'all are like, that's not Paige. You're right, that's not Paige. Anyway, fast forward. I'm like, okay, fine, I guess, like, I don't know. She's like, I want a divorce, I'm done. I'm like, you want a what? That we don't talk like that. She's like, I'm leaving. I'm like, no, you're not. Now, you ever heard anything about redheads having anger problems? Anybody ever heard that?
No.
I'm telling you. That's a really good answer, Chris. Paige used to be something special. She would call me every name in the book because I wouldn't let her leave. I'm like, you can't have a divorce, sorry. That's not how this works. I don't care what you're doing, you'll figure it out, right? The whole time I'm trying to figure this out too, and I'm like, obviously blindsided, it's like getting hit by a train. I'm young, like I ain't got nothing figured out, but I'm like, I don't know what's happening, but I know that I love this woman. And so anyway, she wants out. I'm like, nah, you ain't going nowhere. So she starts getting very verbal, right? Because if I can't leave him, I'll make him want to leave. I think that was her mindset. Like, if he's not going to let me leave, then I'll make him leave. She used to get, like, physically violent. And I don't know if we'll ever get to this anywhere else, so I'll just say it right now. If there's any kind of physical violence at all in your home, I'm just going to assume I'm talking to the guys. But if I'm not, you can come talk to me about it. Guys, you're an idiot. And I'll just call it like it is. And I'll use a phrase from Mike Blake. You need to be introduced to the front of somebody's bumper. Because that's not cool. Right? And we can talk later. But I don't roll that way. Right? God created a woman for a specific purpose. A lot of specific purposes. And it is not that. So I don't know, I probably don't need to say that, but I'm going to say that. So anyway, she would try to get violent. And the most violent I ever had to get with Paige was, there was one night she came at me and I had to, like, physically, because I was bigger than her, like, hold her on the floor. Because, like, she was swinging until she just couldn't anymore. That's how bad it was. Okay, so I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I have no idea what's happening. This is not good. Right? So then it's like, seems to, I'm like, fine, I guess if this is what you're wanting to do, whatever. I'm like, I don't want out. I don't want that. And this is not what this is supposed to be. Like, this is not what, and so anyway, she's like, well, I'm leaving. And so we're dirt poor. We got two dimes to rub together. Like, we probably would have been divorced. I've told people this, except we didn't have enough money to get divorced. Like, I'm like, well, fine, I guess whenever we get enough money, we'll just do it. But until then, you're stuck, right? The whole time I'm thinking, you'll figure it out. So we go through this thing. It goes on for a while. I think at this point, you know, things had kind of calmed down. I'd say the other guy's wife probably got involved, and so things kind of settled down for a while. And I think things are kind of getting a little better, but not really. And so it's like she's ready to leave. Things were so bad. So people are like, were you really going to get divorced? I wrote her a check for the refrigerator. Like, we divided everything out. Like, fine, if we're going to do this, you can have the couch. I want this. I want this. So we just couldn't agree on who was going to get the refrigerator. Like, we're talking about like a, I wrote her a check for $200, and I'm like, you're not taking my fridge. You can't make this up. I don't know what's going on. It's just crazy. She comes to me one night. Things had kind of settled down. I thought things were getting better, right? Because, you know, all of a sudden my wife's kind of starting to act a little bit more like my wife used to. She didn't really like me, but we still, you know, we were kind of living together. And I'm thinking, well, maybe things are going to work out. And, you know, just because we're lost and, you know, we're young, we're still sleeping together because, you know, why not? You know, maybe I can woo her back by that. Yeah. She comes to me and she's like, I'm pregnant. Well, she hasn't been around this guy for a while. Well, that changes things, right? I guess we're really going to have to make this work. She's like, no, I still want to get divorced. Sweet. And I remember, I don't know if I ever told you this, I remember I was working up off of 150, was doing basements, and there was a church that I'd been to a couple times with her family when we were dating, and it was really close to there. And it was a midweek service, and I knew that they had this thing. It was a men's prayer service. And obviously, I'm desperate. I'm like, I don't know what to do. I'm like, maybe I'll go and pray, and God will straighten this woman out, because I can't. And so it would be the equivalent of a complete stranger, lost guy rolling in here on a Sunday night. You ever been in here on a Sunday night for prayer meeting? There's like six people here. I realized about the time I walked in the door that that was not the place that I ought to be. I'm like, I mean, this is, but I remember this guy meeting me, and, you know, I was there, and it was really weird because I'm like, I'm praying with these guys, and I don't know God. I don't know nothing about God, and I just don't know anything, and I'm just like, I'm crying out, but I don't know what I'm crying out for. And so anyway, I'm praying, and I don't know who I'm praying to, but I'm praying, and I go home, and, well, I mean, we're figuring it out. So we moved out of the apartment, mostly because we didn't have any money to pay the bills. You ever been there? So we moved back in with her dad. Her parents had split up in this process, and her dad's out there living by himself in a big house, and like, we'll move back out there. I'm thinking maybe a change of scenery will help things out. A change of scenery don't help nothing out, boys. So we move out there. She's pregnant, and we're trying to figure this life thing out. And anyway, so it doesn't take very long, guys. Maybe you'll track with me here. And I don't want to, I'm not throwing shade on my father-in-law. I actually love my father-in-law to death. I pray for him. But anyway, I love my father-in-law to death. But I realized very quickly, we didn't live there for very long, that there can only be one man of the house. And I was at a place in my life where I needed to be the man of my house. I was trying to figure out my marriage. We had a little boy who was, you know, pretty little. She's pregnant, and I'm like, it's just not working. Like, I'm ready to lead my house. And not that he wasn't, he was actually really graceful looking back, and Dave was really awesome through that whole thing. But it didn't take very long for me to realize, like, this is not working. So this is where we're at. We're married. We've got a little kid, right? You might be like, what is this? Where are you going with this? I'll get there. Got a little kid, got another one on the way, and she don't even like me. Like, still married, not really wanting to be married, but so we do the thing that everybody would do in this situation, right? The thing that every person would do, like in this situation. We bought a house together. Not just a house, a new house, because that's what people do. We go into, now it's like not that much money, but we go into like $130,000 worth of debt Like, we shouldn't even have, and looking back, you can start to see how God was, like, just aligning things, like breadcrumbs, like, hey, just follow the trail. Maybe you'll get here. But there's no way, like, I don't even remember where I was working at the time, but I couldn't have been making much money. I was working my tail off, I promise, because I ain't never had a job that I didn't work my tail off at. Like, that's one thing that is almost to a fault to me, is I will work myself to death. But I don't remember where I was at. We didn't have no money. She was working at Family Center, I think, or I don't even know if you still were at this time. So obviously, there ain't a whole lot of money happening. And we get approved for a loan with zero money down. How does that happen at 21, 22 years old? This doesn't happen. Now, today it would. They'd approve you for $400,000 just so they could take it back from you next year, because that's the economy we live in. But I'm telling you, this was like 07-ish, right? Things were not that great. You know what happened in 08. And so we buy this house together because that's the logical thing to do. I'm like, because in my mind, it's like she just needs wooed. She needs to remember why I'm that great, right? She needs to remember that, like, hey, look what you've got here, baby. Like, you can have all of this. Come on. I'm like, she needs a house. That's what she needs. She needs to get out of her dad's house. Hey, you can laugh. It's funny. I know. She needs to get out of her. We just need a change of scenery. She hadn't been with this guy for a while, and I'm like, okay, she's finally figuring things out. We just need to get something started here. We need to just start over. Whereas everybody else in here would have been like, peace out, woman. Screw you. I'm like, let's just go. Just let me. I'm working. Not asking for help. I'm not. And you might be like, well, that's what you need to do. No, I'm not asking anybody for help, including the Father. I'm just working. I'm like, I can work my way out of this. I can make this happen. I can make this woman love me. I can. I'm like, I can do it. Like, you don't know. She just don't know the half of it yet. I can figure this out. She needs a house. Okay, we buy a house. I'm like, things are really good now. At this point, second child's here. You know, we got two boys. I'm like, this is life, man. We're figuring it out. Maybe it wasn't the picture that I was hoping for, but we're figuring it out. And the whole time I'm thinking, you know, we got this house and things are kind of back to normal. She doesn't like me. And it was pretty obvious, but, you know, we're at least living together. She hadn't left yet. So I'm like, if she ain't left, that tells me that there must be something in there that likes me, right? That's what I'm telling myself. Because I'm thinking, we'll get there. I'm thinking, she hasn't gone back to that. Why would she? Nah, she figured it out. It's like Hosea. She wouldn't have went back there. She wouldn't be there. Nah. Well, come to find out, that's where she went. It's one thing to go through it once. But as I'm growing and I'm learning, and I'm nothing about the word, but I'm growing and I'm learning and I'm trying to figure life out. And then I find out, like, the woman that I think is coming back because I'm doing all the right things. I'm working extra hours. I'm doing all the right stuff, right? Because, you know, there's never been anything in my life that I couldn't do if I tried hard enough. You know? Nah. That sucks. You'd be like, man, I just wish we could, you know, we go on a date every now and then. I'm just saying, you need to change your expectations. And I'm not trying to say that I'm good, because here's what I'm trying to, throughout all of this, when I'm trying to, it probably makes it seem like I'm making Paige seem like a real a-hole. Paige was lost, and Paige was doing what lost people do. She was in sin. I was lost. I was doing what lost people do, only I was taking the self-righteous path. Look at me. I'm doing all the right things, right? We could have got divorced and everybody would have thought I was great and she was some hag, but, like, it didn't matter because we were both in sin. Again, breadcrumbs. Enter in some people in our life that go to church. Now, mind you, we're talking wackadoo doctrine. Looking back, I'm like, how in the world God ever used this? I don't know. But you know what these people did? They loved us. And we would hang out with them. We'd go over there. Man, I would drink myself away. We'd play cards, and they'd just watch me. And they never called me out on it. They just loved us. We used to do things with them. I'm like, I don't know why these people like us, but Paige seems to like to hang out with them, and, you know, we're not arguing, so it must be okay. And so anyway, not knowing any of this, I come to find out that, like, God is using all this to start to prick my wife's heart. Now, I didn't know anything about the Bible growing up. Now, this is where you might be like, oh, so here comes the church part, right? No, not the church part. Here comes the part where God saved my soul, changed my life, and gave it purpose. Okay, so if you're the person that's like, oh, just listen. Come to find out, somebody gifted my wife a book. I don't know what the book was. It was just a tool. But she starts reading it. She grew up in church, right? You should have known better, by the way. I didn't know no better. Just kidding. And she starts reading this book. And obviously, it basically, over time, it confronts her with the realization that what you're doing is wrong. Not just a little bit, but what you're doing is messed up. And so, you know, it basically called her out and, like, you need to be a wife. You need to be, you know, this is what you need to be. And so it brings her to the point of salvation, right? And, you know, she thought she was saved, but really there was no change in her life, and she'd never come to the point where she really bowed her knee to Christ and, like, really had a change in her life. Well, it wasn't just like a, yeah, this sounds good, but, like, yes, I will follow you, Lord. If you've ever been there, you understand what it's like to get saved. Like, not just know it, but, like, see it. It becomes so real. So here's what happens. God gets a hold of her heart. She's reading through this book, and she gets saved. And she finally comes to a point, and what had happened, and she'll tell you this, and so I'm going to use this part of her story because she doesn't have time to tell it, but it was when her sin became exceeding sinful. What's that passage that it says that? I think it's in, I think it's in Romans, but basically it talks about how, you know, it's when your sin becomes exceeding sinful. When you even realize this, like, what I'm doing is messed up. You ever been there? Like, what I'm doing is, like, dude, lost people don't do this. Okay, so she comes to the point where she's like, okay, God, if you want my life, you can have it. So she gets saved. I have no idea, right? She gets saved. She'll tell you this story. She was laying in bed one night. I was asleep because, you know, that's what I do. I hit the pillow and I'm asleep about 30 seconds later. She gets saved, and she'll tell you, so the first prayer that she has to God as a born-again believer is, how do I get out of my marriage? Right? How do I do this correctly so I can go and live a life for you? Like, that's the question that she asked God. How do I get out and do it right? She's like, I love this other guy. I can just take the boys and we can go. And it's funny how the things that I tried to do so hard, like, and I tried, like, I'm not talking about, like, I just tried a little bit. Like, I don't know what y'all have ever done to woo your spouse. Like, I did it times 10. Like, I used every one of Nick's pickup lines plus some. Like, Nick's always got a good pickup line. Like, it's just funny. He'd come over to Sabbath, and he'd always say something to Kendra, and I'd be like, man, I should have wrote that down. I was doing all the right things, and you know what happened? In a moment of time, God did what I could never do. What I could never do. He told her, you might be like, how did he tell her? Ask her, she'll tell you. She basically said, okay, fine, I'm married to this guy I don't love. I want out, I want a divorce, so you tell me, God. She already has it in her head. You ever come to God with a prayer that you already know the answer to, or at least you think you do? You're like, okay, so this is the logical answer, I'm just waiting for God to bless it, and I'll move on. Okay, so she says, God, who is it? Is it Jason or this other guy I can go and be happy with, and that's what you want from me, right? And God said, who are you married to? And you can ask her, from that day forward, she was done. The things that I tried so hard to do, I worked so hard to do, I would have done anything for. And so here's what happens. All of a sudden, I've got this really awkward woman living in my house. She's no longer yelling at me. She's no longer cursing at me. She's no longer like, it's weird. I'm like, I don't know what in the world's happened to my wife, but I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop. Well, fast forward, she comes, she's like, hey, I'm going to go to church on Sunday. I'm like, yeah, you are. you know, with the friends that we had. And it's like way up in the city. I'm like, fine, go have a good time. She goes, she comes back. I had a really good time. I'm like, okay. She's like, I'm gonna go back next week. I'm like, okay, have fun. I'm like, I know you. You don't follow through with anything. And the next Saturday night rolls around. She's like, hey, I'm gonna go to church again. And I'm like, oh, I see what you're doing here. Because again, it's me being prideful. I see what you're doing here. This is like a new tactic that you're going to try to make me look like the guy who won't go to church with my family. And like, this is the new way that you're going to get out of this. I see you've been acting all, you know, different. And I see what's happening here. I'm like, no, you're not. We're not. I was like, fine, you want to go to church? Because I'm just expecting that, like, we're going to have an argument here. You want to go to church? We'll go to church. But we're going to go to that church that your mom's been going to because it's right down the road. And she's like, fine, as long as we go somewhere. I'm like, well, that backfired. That didn't work. So enter, we stumble into HBF right after the building was built here in 2008, and it was like, y'all have been there where you're like, I feel like somebody is preaching and they're preaching. Like, here's what I thought. I thought that her and her mom had like told this guy, I thought that they had like met with this guy and told him some of the things that were going on in my life, like trying to call me out, and I'm like, oh, I see what you did here. Because he was, like, preaching at me, man. And we come. I couldn't get out the door fast enough. And all I could think about that next week was, like, that was terrible. But all I want to do is go back. And so fast forward. I don't get into the details of that. But anyway, it doesn't take very long. And God gets a hold of my heart. And I get saved. Sitting at a stop sign that doesn't even exist anymore in my truck. It used to be you could go out here and you could jump on the highway where the bridge is because there wasn't a bridge there. You could just get on the highway. So I turned left because everybody would just leave church and get on the highway. And I was sitting at the stop sign that everybody sits at now when you leave here over by where Walmart is, the distribution center. Well, I remember sitting there and like having an argument with God about like, I don't understand. Like, I've done everything right in life. Why are you trying to get a hold of me? And like, all I got to do is work. I just got to figure it out. I just got to, you know, whatever it is, I just got to. And I finally came to the point and I'm like, fine, God, if you want it, you can have it. But remember, when I do something, I go all out. When I do something, I give you all, I don't give you, I go 110%. And I'm like, fine, if you want my life, you can have it. But like, it's all of it. Because, like, I don't know what else to do. Everything I've tried to do, I've tried to be a good dad, and I failed. I've tried to be a good husband, and I failed. And, like, all I want, like, if this is really what it is claimed to be, that you will take this messed up life of mine, where all I have done is screw up, make mistakes, and make a fool of myself, you can have it then. But you're not just getting a little bit of it. You can have all of it. And you might be like, okay, yeah, I understand you guys. I'm telling you, we never looked back. I didn't know who this woman was, and she didn't know who I was, but we figured it out, right? When you look at me and you say, you don't understand, she doesn't ever want to get frisky at night. You don't understand. There's never any conversation. You don't understand. We're just different. You don't understand the things we're going through with our kids. You just don't understand, like, real life. You don't understand work, and you're right, I don't. But here's what I'll tell you. God told Hosea to go find a wife who was a prostitute, and he did. And he told him after she went back to go buy her back, and he did. And I'm a story of that. I've been there. I didn't do it for all the right reasons. I don't know if Jose did it for all the right reasons. We don't know. It doesn't really say in the story. I'm just saying, as we move forward for the next 7 weeks, when I say I've been through some things, when I say I know what it's like to have financial problems, I know what it's like to be 3 months behind on my mortgage, I know what it's like to have, you know, ministry with my kids, I understand what it's like to not have a relationship with my spouse, and I've been there. And you know why I'm still here? 18 years and some months and some days later, I've already forgot. It's because I finally said, God, you can have it. And you might be like, that's too simple. It's not like that. I'm just telling you, whatever the heck you got going on in your life, you need to change your expectation because it's messed up and you're selfish. And you might be like, you don't understand my spouse. I'm just saying, God's not going to bless you until you do it. Let him figure your spouse out, because that's what I ended up, I didn't know I had to, but that's what ended up happening. I guarantee you won't try anything that I didn't try 10 different ways to figure marriage out. It was only through Christ that anything happened. It is only through Christ that I'm still married today, and it's only through Christ that we actually have something that's worth showing somebody. I've had people ask me, like, what would you do if you could go back? Like, would you? I'm like, I would do it. I would go through it twice. Because I feel like we've been through something. I feel like there is absolutely nothing that could come into our life now that would even come close. Y'all probably can't say that. You might be like, well, what's going to keep her from going back again? Christ. That's what. Been there. Like, you got to learn how to just forget. You've got to learn, as we go through this stuff and we talk about things that are like, that's not, but I don't like it. Like, he's probably right, but I don't like it. Like, whatever. Like, I just need you to understand that as we look at some of this stuff, there's only one way. Try all you want any other way. Try to give God every area of your life except for that one. All right. You'll end up where I'm at now, or divorce, one or the other. There won't be a middle ground. Draw a line in the sand with God. He'll immediately bring you to it and say, what are you going to do with it? As we go through this stuff, I want you to know that, like, I care. I care enough to be here. Like, I get it. Like, you're probably thinking, you don't understand. I'm busy. I've got stuff going on. Like, okay. I've been there. We've been there. And the only reason I'm here is not to put ourselves up on a pedestal. I didn't take an entire night to waste your time. I took an entire night to try to tell you I've seen some things, and so now when we talk about these things, you don't look at me like, what the heck does this guy know? I've seen the movie. I know how it ends. But I can't drink the water for you. Die of thirst or drink the water, one or the other. All right, so that's kind of like heavy. We don't tell that story a lot. Crazy, isn't it? God's good. You might be like, I know that, but like, God's good in a way that you don't understand. You read a story and you're like, there ain't nobody that's going to go back and get her. Like, I did. The Bible's real. And as soon as you decide to make it real in your life, the sooner that you can take steps to grow. Grow as a person. Grow as a wife, grow as a husband, grow as a parent. Like, be ready to say, I've been off however many years, a little bit. I'm ready to, like, grow a little bit. We're going to look at some things that will blow your mind. You might be like, you're telling me that if this happens, then this will happen? Well, yeah, but don't do it for that reason. But I'm just saying, like, when this happens, I'm telling you, like, the Bible says so. Well, I mean, I'm probably not even talking what you think I'm talking about. It's real, guys. It really is. What are you going to do with it? All right, so here we go. I got some tasks for you this week, if you decide to do them. This is your mission, so you choose to accept it. I don't even know what movie that is. Yeah, I don't see a lot of movies. Okay, if you want to write these down, you can. You should. Because this is what I want you to do. I want you to take some time this week after you've heard what you've heard and after you see that, like, so tell me something. If God can do that in my life, And I'm not saying that like that's the impossible, because I've seen God do other things in other people's lives that seem impossible. But like, if God can do that, like that was my impossible. Whatever your impossible, if God can do that, if I was just faithful and just willing to do what he said, and she was just willing to do what he said, then don't you think that over the next several weeks, as we look into some things, maybe God would be able to grow you in whatever area it is that like you're struggling with a little bit? You might even not even call it a struggle. It's just like, man, it just drives me crazy when they do this, right? We'll talk about that a different night. Take some time this week. Like, this is where you actually have to think. Use your brain, right? Remember that definition you wrote down or whatever, your expectation that you wrote down? Like, this is what I was wanting to get out of this class, just off the top of my head. Take some time to actually think about the question now. Because if somebody would have told me, write something down, I'd have been like, I don't know what to write. Because I don't know anything off, like, spur of the moment. I have to think things through and take some time and actually redefine your original expectation. Okay, if God can do this, God's really able to do what Jason says, and if I'm really willing to, at least for the next 7 weeks, listen to what he says and go through with this, like, what is a realistic expectation I have? Do I expect that maybe God really could get through my wife's hard skull? Like that, you shouldn't write that down. Do you expect that, you know, maybe God really could take that one area of your marriage and actually allow you guys to work through it, or he really could, you know, get your wife to stop sleeping with somebody else, or whatever it is? Like, actually take some time and think about it. And with the thought that God can really do anything, what is an expectation that you have? Like, 7 weeks from now, like, what could be different? What is a different expectation? One that's actually, I didn't think was achievable, but maybe, I don't know. Like, just take some time to think that through. Right? Because you might be surprised what God might really bring to your mind, and you might think, I don't really think that could happen. I'm just saying, take some time. Okay, so here's where, this is where you're going to be like, I don't think that can happen. Every week I'm going to give you some things to do. I got 5 more minutes and I promise I'll be done. Every week I'm going to give you some tasks. Some of them are going to be fun. I promise you'll enjoy these. but some of them are going to be hard. They're going to be tough conversations. So get with your spouse this week if your spouse is here. If your spouse isn't here, work through it with God. If you're not married yet, man, I promise this is way better to hear before you're married than after. Like, if all the married people in here could be like, mm-hmm, if they'd have told me that. Okay, so I promise, if you're single, like, you're getting the good stuff now. You know what to look for. Anyway, we'll talk about that a different night. Schedule a time, which I know some people are like, I don't even see my spouse. We just catch each other in passing or, you know, whatever. Figure out for the next however many weeks. We got 7 more weeks. Hey, each week we're going to get together for 10, 15, 20 minutes on this day at this time, and we're going to talk about whatever it is that we're supposed to be discussing. Or there might be some actions that go involved in some of the things, and so use your imagination and you'll get to where we're going. But the point here is we're working towards something. So you might be like, you don't understand how busy I am, Jason, to schedule something. Just real quick, I know what it's like to be busy. I really do. My boys play football on Mondays and Friday nights with the school. I teach on Tuesdays and Thursday nights. Tuesday and Wednesday nights. Now I'm here on Saturday nights because I want to be here, right? Not because I have to be. This was my idea. I teach Pass Point on Sundays. We have meetings on Sunday nights. Like, I understand what it's like to be busy is what I'm telling you, okay? So I don't really want to hear. I don't have time to, like, sit down and talk to my wife for 10 minutes. Okay, well, I guess you'll figure out time after your divorce then. Like, after she decides that, like, I'm just telling you, this will benefit you. Remember, I guarantee this will work as long as you're willing. Like, remember that part? Okay, so as long as you're willing to at least go through with this, you might be like, I don't want to do that. Well, I promise, there'll be a couple of these you're going to be like, I'll do that. Of course you would. Guess what? Your wife knows that too. Your husband knows that too. Okay, so figure out a time. Babe, I'm just going to tell you. we're going to meet on Thursday nights because that's the only night that we don't have something already scheduled. So at least for, you know, 15, 20 minutes, that's when we're going to do it. That's pretty easy for us to decide because that's the only time that there isn't something already scheduled. Now, usually we fill it up with something, but figure out a time. Well, I don't have time. Okay, well, then if you don't have time, set your alarm for 45 minutes before you got to leave and get up and talk then. You want me to do what? Tell me you got no time. Come on now. I promise it will be worth it. At first, it's going to seem awkward. It's going to be awkward to talk to your spouse. Isn't that ridiculous to say? But we're going to talk about some things. If you're comfortable this week, and if you're not, just be like, I'm not ready yet. And be okay on the receiving end of that to be like, all right, we'll get there. Don't be like, well, why? Why aren't you ready to talk yet? Right? Well, I thought we could talk about this right now, and well, I'm not ready. If you're good with it, be like, hey, this is what I was like, this is an expectation that I really think God might be able to do through this class. That'd be a really cool conversation to have. But maybe you're not ready. That's okay. Don't ever allow the things that we're talking about here to turn into a heated conversation, because that's what we're going to call them. Y'all have had some heated conversations before, I know. Last thing. This is totally if you want to. Well, that's this week. But each week I'm going to give you something that you're going to get together and do with your spouse. Some of them are going to be really cool. I've got some really cool ideas. God has given me some really cool ideas. But anyway, one more, and this is like, you might be like, that's an assignment? And some of you might be like, I don't want to do that. That's fine, whatever. I don't watch very many movies. I don't, like, do very much stuff. But Paige and I got out of town last weekend before this whole thing because I wanted to set aside some time for us just to hang out. And we watched a movie, which was, so I'm scrolling through. We have dinner reservations. I'm like, find something to watch. We never watch TV, but I'm like, this is what we're going to do. We're just going to sit down on the couch and watch TV because we never do at the hotel. And I'm like, so we can just hang out together. Like, let's find a movie to watch because I know she likes to do those things. And I'm like, we can't find a movie. There's nothing good. I can't find anything worth watching. This is stupid. This was a dumb idea. And so we come across this and she's like, oh, I've read that book. I'm like, fine, we'll watch it, whatever. We watch this movie. And I'm sure it's a complete coincidence because that's how God works, is through coincidences, right? The movie is called Redeeming Love. And I'm just going to encourage you to watch it. Because it's almost like the story I just told you was actually like lived out in old time. Yeah, it is. It's free on Prime. It's free on some of the other services. If you don't want to watch it, that's fine. I can't tell you to do anything. I'm just telling you it might be worth your time. And guys, if you're like, hey, I'll sit down and watch a romance movie with my wife and might get lucky at the end of it. It's probably not what's going to happen at the end of this one. Like, I know how y'all think. Come on now. That's not, I had like the perfect opportunity. We were up in the city. We got like a hotel room. We watch this movie and I'm like, there ain't nothing happening tonight. But I'm just saying, y'all probably ought to watch it because, it's worth watching because you can see it's a picture of the book of Hosea. That's ironic, isn't it? It's just like a coincidence. It's not a coincidence. It's God's providence. So if you got time, it'd be worth your time. I will say this, there's no nudity, but it is a picture of a woman in a brothel, so like, just don't, I'm just saying, like, that's what it's about. So no outright nudity. So I would never recommend that. So anyway, all right, let's pray. I owe you 2 minutes next week. I promise. I value your time. God, I love you. I thank you for today. I thank you for your grace and your goodness and your mercy and just everything that you do in our lives that we can't. And Lord, I pray that as we endeavor to step on holy ground and we really start to look into some things that are life-changing, that we would be willing to hear what you have to say and willing to do the things that you've called us to do, Lord, to be better for our spouse. Lord, I don't want good enough anymore. I want what you desire for us. And so, Lord, I pray for each one of these couples as the adversary sees that, okay, they're going to take a step of faith. I'm going to take a step of a dart in their direction. So I pray you just protect their marriages, Lord. Give them time to just evaluate where they're at and see where you would like them to be. And I pray that you would just get all the honor and the glory, Lord. I thank you for Mitch and Jody just being sacrificial and loving on our kids while we're doing this. And I pray you get all the honor and the glory. In Christ's name, amen. There's a lot of things I wanted to say that I didn't get to say. Thank you guys for being here. I really do appreciate it. God, I'm super nervous because there's some things that God is like, hey, you probably ought to say that. And I'm like, you want me to say what in church? What? We're going to go there. Wherever it is that you think we're not going to go, I promise we're going to go there. Tell Mitch and Jody you love them because they really wanted to be here more than you did. And they were like, hey, I'll watch the kids instead. All right, see you guys next week. I'll see you tomorrow morning probably. All right, see you.